Good morning, this is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 13a. The Reverend Dr. Mark Raby is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we were to examine all the post-resurrection narratives and then divide them up, they would fall, in a sense, into two different categories, each with its own kind of interests or focus. The first of these we might think of as apologetic or proclamation. That is to say, certain accounts are part of the church's witness to the world. They stress the reality of the Lord's resurrection. They're, in a sense, speaking to the tough-minded individual. Here's the facts, and here's Christ risen from the dead. You might notice a considerable emphasis on that eyewitness testimony, just as there might be in a courtroom scene, for example. 1 Corinthians 15. You know, St. Paul has a list of those qualified witnesses, well known among those in the early church, with a heavy accent on apostolic authority, with the people listed there as official spokesmen for the church. For example, Christ appeared to Cephas and the 12, and then to more than 500. These were the church's witnesses, the authorized witnesses who could then also speak that they had seen Christ. The official testimony had to be clear, unmistakable, emphasizing the identity of the risen Christ, without a doubt. And we find this, for example, in Luke 24 and John 21. But there's a second kind of post-resurrection narrative that has an emphasis that's a little different, just as each gospel is a little different and has a little different focus. It's a little different than the first kind. And to appreciate this difference, one might begin by noting who's absent. Who's absent from these narratives? The women. The women are absent. How could these women be witnesses to the world? In the first century, they often would not be taken as eyewitnesses, per se. But after all, even the church, even those amongst the apostles, did not believe, as we heard in the gospel lesson today. They weren't always believed by the apostles. Amazingly enough, Christ rose from the dead. This was something that hadn't happened before, and so it was overwhelming to all those who heard. They didn't even believe when they announced that the angels were there. After all, the church didn't believe. The women are not believed by the apostles when they announced that empty tomb and the vision of angels. And that's what we hear in the text today. But when they heard that he was alive, Mark 16, 11, and had been seen by her, that is Mary, they would not believe it. While their witness wasn't believed, God indeed valued their testimony. The church values their testimony. The Holy Spirit, who has given us this word, values such testimony. So a little different focus in the second kind of narrative. It's not so much concerned with this kind of tough-minded or witness to the world, apologetic. We're rather dealing with the church's inner reflection, so to speak. The church's devout and tender meditation on that first Easter morning, and I'll give you an example shortly, and those days then followed. We see this in Matthew and in Luke. So this second type of narrative is dealing less with that tough-minded apologetic and more of a prayerful meditation. The Lord's not necessarily recognized right away. The two disciples that Jesus that appears to in another form along the way to Emmaus, or as John records in John chapter 21, the seven disciples are out fishing at the Sea of Galilee and don't know him until some crucial point in the account. And the context of the recognition has a depth about it, a different kind of sense, a greater depth. It's the disciples on the road recognize him as they are in the act of breaking bread together, and they come to realize he's there. Or the seven on the lake once again share a meal of bread and fish. These accounts are not dealing with the church's testimony to the world, but with the church's inner life of communion, what life in Christ is like with the risen Lord. So, St. Mark, throughout his gospel, and often there is brevity in his account, just the facts emphasizing the simple proclamation. And while John records in greater depth Mary Magdalene at the tomb early in Easter morning, we see this second sense. You've heard this narrative. We hear it almost every Easter morning from John chapter 20. And there is Mary, like the bride in the Song of Solomon. She rises early while it's still dark and goes out seeking him, the one whom she loves, the one whom Jesus, her Lord, had cast seven demons out of her, the one whom she calls my Lord, an image almost reminiscent of Genesis and the Song of Solomon. She comes into the garden of his burial, and indeed she first takes him to be the gardener, which in a sense, as the new Adam, he most certainly is. He's bringing the new creation, a foretaste of what is to come, ultimately fulfilled. Her eyes are blinded by tears. She does not at once know Jesus, that the gardener is Jesus. And then he speaks to her. But even then, she does not recognize his voice. The dramatic moment of recognition then comes when the risen Jesus pronounces her own name, Mary. Only then does she know him as Rabboni, my teacher. And so in this narrative, then, we perceive in Mary an image of ourselves meeting the risen Lord and Good Shepherd. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by their name, for they know his voice. This narrative about Mary Magdalene, it's an affirmation of our Christian identity, which comes from recognizing the voice of our Savior Jesus Christ, who speaks our own name in baptism, in our own salvation, won for us on the cross, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, St. Mark also gives us a gift, even in his brevity, in these few short verses we hear today. Mary, the one rescued from seven demons. Mary, the one lost but now found. Mary, of all people, he appeared to first. In these short verses, we again see ourselves. You, like Mary, were lost but now are found, broken and now restored. Wounded but being bound up, your Lord Jesus has called you by name and has made you his own. Hope and peace are yours where gloom and darkness once overwhelmed. Your cries and sighs give way to singing. Life from death. Your Lord is bringing jubilee. Christ has gained the victory for you, and you can't help but, as Mary did, tell others about Jesus, whether they believe you or not. Christ is risen, she speaks. Almost. Yes, the second kind of narratives are truly in-house. In a sense, we might say the remembrance or the memory of the church. This is more in-house. But it can only be understood within the community of salvation, for it describes a wisdom and a relationship held together by our Lord, by your Lord and Savior, who knows the number of the hairs on your head, who is acquainted with all your ways, who calls you by name, who has claimed you as his own dear child in baptism, and comes to you in his word and supper. It's a wisdom, these second set of narratives, that we come to know and would not know otherwise and would not be otherwise available to the world outside of faith in Jesus. In Jesus Christ our Lord, who has risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long- and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.